Let's talk about the Giants for a second and the owner, because I think Hard Knocks has been far better than I ever expected. Honestly, I've enjoyed it immensely. And I've said this before, I'm not sure if it's the same if it's not your team. I don't know how other fans view it, but I found it, one, the novelty of it being its first of its kind, and really seeing how the innards of the organization work and how they put together these things and how deals come together and dealing with free agency and all these meetings and stuff. The novelty of it is interesting on its own. But having it be your team, to see the inner workings of and get an idea of how your GM, the people making decisions for your franchise operate, I find extremely fascinating, even more so than camp, which is going to be with the Bears this year. I think this is far more interesting, a Hard Knocks, than others of previous elk. Now, again, if next year they do it and it's, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks, maybe I won't be as interested. But right now, I think this is great. I think we've learned a lot. I don't want to go over the whole episode because it was Tuesday. We're already ready for the next one. We've already gone over all the stuff about Saquon Barkley. They never offered him the contract, you know, blah, blah. We get it. We all know. But a couple things I do want to focus on, and mainly John Mara. Because I feel like John Mara has got a little bit of a bad rap in all of this. Now, I do agree, some of his thinking I disagree with. There's no doubt. His desire to keep Saquon Barkley for the, you know, and even in previous episodes, I think it was the first episode, talking about maybe drafting a running back high in the draft. Yeah, I disagree with all that. I disagree with some of his thinking. But here's what I'll say, because it feels like what came out of that is that the Giants have some sort of meddling owner who has a complete warped sense of how to build a team, and it's a real problem for the New York Giants. And here's what I'll say. While, yeah, I disagree with some of the stuff he said, and if he's forcing things to have happen, yeah, it's a problem. But that's not what's happening. And the big line that comes out of this is when they're talking about Saquon Barkley, he says to Joe Shane, now remember, he is our most popular player by far. And everybody seemed, I mean, I saw a million stories. Oh, John Mara's looking to sign players and sign running backs because they're popular. John Mara's basing his team on jersey sales. John Mara, I'm sorry, did I miss something? First off, the meddling idea, we know he wanted Saquon Barkley. Is Saquon Barkley here? He literally told the general manager, I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon Barkley is a Philadelphia Eagle. What is Saquon Barkley today? The owner's allowed to have an opinion. The owner is not allowed to allow his opinion to override what the people he brought in here to run the team to do. Their decision-making needs to be more important than his opinion. But he's allowed to have one, and he let Saquon Barkley leave. He let Saquon Barkley go to the team he told you he'd have a tough time sleeping if it happened. And if you saw the exchanges in this thing, is Joe Shane nervous in the slightest about what John Mara comes in saying? He's laughing. If you watch it again, John Mara comes in, he's like, Saquon, you know, and he's talking about it, and Joe Shane literally goes to him, look, you know, right now it says, you know, it sounds like the Eagles are out. I don't know. Or like, whatever it was, like, I think it was the Eagles are out and this one's in, or whatever he said. And you could see the tense unhappiness on John Mara's face. And what's Joe Shane's reaction? He chuckles. He wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't nervous to death about what John Mara's going to do. It was very clear to me that despite whatever John Mara might say, Joe Shane was going to do what Joe Shane felt was best. But the idea the owner can't have an opinion, or that for some reason, is this not a business? Am I missing something? Is John Mara not running a business with an audience and a clientele? Because as far as I'm concerned, the most popular player is without question a valid comment and part of the conversation. It's not the overwhelming decision. It's not something you base decisions on. But when you're discussing a player, for the owner to say, hey, just so you know, he is our most popular player by far. Be aware of the fan base reaction and the idea they love this guy. And yes, he makes us, I mean, listen, he makes the NFL money in jersey sales. They all, like, it's not like, my understanding of it, I guess I could be wrong. My understanding is all this NFL stuff goes to the pot and they split it. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I certainly think that's how MLB works. But whatever the case may be, I mean, the idea that the owner can't say, hey, the fans love him and he's a popular player and all of this, like, that's not part of the conversation. It's clearly not the determining factor. He didn't sign him. But the idea that, oh, John Mara wanted him signed because he sells jerseys. What? That's not allowed to be said in that room? He shouldn't take the fan base into consideration in any level? It shouldn't just be one of the many bullet points when making a decision? It's absurd. It's absurd. The idea that can't be uttered, or that somehow means that that's how he builds his team based on who he thinks is the most popular, is ridiculous. He's allowed to say it. It's something that's so, it's so ridiculous it can't be spoken? I think John Mara has a misconception about the running back position and Saquon Barkley's importance to the team. No doubt. I do. And let's be fair, since the passing of his father and him becoming the leader of the team, he has made a bunch of terrible hires. Up until this point where I kind of have faith in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, but, I mean, the hires he's made since firing Coughlin and the GMs he's brought in and the coaches he's brought in have been disasters. And he's been forced to pivot from those choices every other year. This is going to be the first regime, the first head coach to make 3 years since Tom Coughlin left. And I don't know if John Mara has read this situation correctly. I'm more in line with exactly what Joe Shane did. But the owner didn't meddle. The owner didn't force Saquon Barkley to be a Giant. Other owners would. Other owners have. He allowed Joe Shane to do what Joe Shane thought best, but he's allowed input. And the input he gave was not ridiculous. And it's more than fair to bring up the popularity of a player when you are putting on a show once a week. When you are entertaining an audience once a week. When you haven't given them a winning product in damn near a decade. To contemplate whether or not it's a smart move to get rid of a brilliant talent who is beloved by the fan base and is the only guy they really want to watch. The idea that that's not a discussion or that John Mara is somehow out of line for saying it is absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's not why you signed someone, no, and they didn't. But it's worthy of a conversation. I thought the reaction to John Mara making that comment was absurd. 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 He's our most popular player by far, just so you know. He's our most player. Like, wow, oh my God, he wants to sign players because of jersey sales. I read like 10 stories like that. Were you nuts? It's not what he said, nor is that what they did. Like, meddling means meddling. Meddling means influencing decisions. Meddling means taking matters into his own hand and forcing things. Like the Melo trade. That's meddling. Giving suggestions and pointing out facts about your clients, about the people you are selling a product to, is not ridiculous. Nor is it meddling. Now, I do admit John Mara has been the one guy who comes out of this a little... don't love his football takes. But he's allowed to have them. He's allowed to have them. And by no means is suggesting that just be mindful that he's our most successful, that he's our most popular player, is out of left field or some sort of unreasonable take. It drove me absolutely nuts. Out of line, what I say, out of field. The idea that that is some sort of, you know, irresponsible take, that, you know, and here's the other thing. Like, again, Joe Shane, watch it again. John Bauer walks in the room. Joe Shane tells him plainly what he's thinking. Joe Shane tells him plainly the truth. And Joe Shane chuckles when he can tell the owner's not thrilled. He's like, well, what are you going to do? Watch it again and tell me if you feel Joe Shane feels threatened or influenced in any way when John Mara walks in the room. If he feels like when you know, yeah, listen, is there a little bit of a gulp when he says, I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if he goes to the Eagles? Yeah, because he knows that's a possibility. It's not a, oh, man, I better make sure that doesn't happen kind of gulp. It's a, oh, man, he's not going to be happy when that happens gulp. But, man, oh, man, I could not believe the reaction to that. I'm looking forward to Tuesday night, getting more into the draft. I actually think it's been a much better show and a more fast, and helped me get, you know, a little bit, scratch that football itch that we all have this time of year. It's been a really great show. And I think Joe Shane comes out. A lot of people, you know, were down on the way he handled the Saquon Barkley situation. I think he handled it great. An awkward phone call here or there. But I feel like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have come off looking good. And again, we're going to see in the draft, for you Daniel Jones lovers, not to harp on the Daniel Jones conversation over and over again every time we get into a Giant conversation, but just from the promo of what's going to happen on Tuesday, when they're talking about trading up, watch the promo and watch Brian Daboll's face when asked if he would trade up for Daniels. Good. Watch it. We all know what happened. And I'm shocked they're showing it. But this team knows what we all know. You can't trust Daniel Jones. Doesn't mean he's going to be bad. Doesn't mean the Giants are doomed for disaster at that position. I don't think he'll be successful. I mean, the conversation, like, I walk into the newsroom talking Giants for about a half a second, talking a bunch of different stuff. Lopresti, who will be in later in the warm-up show, filling in for Jerry, who's filling in for Boomer. He said to me, who starts the most games for the Giants this year, quarterback? That's the conversation. The conversation right now isn't, will Daniel Jones lead them to the playoffs? How many games will the Giants win? How many touchdown passes will Daniel Jones throw? Maybe the conversation will be how many yards Malik Nabers has. How many receptions Nabers has. The conversation around Daniel Jones is how many games will he start? How long will he be healthy? And if they lose, how quickly will they pull him out of fear of injury and ending the season on the injured list, which would guarantee next year's money? That's the conversation around Daniel Jones. And I get the feeling you're going to see on Tuesday in the episode where they talk about trading up exactly why. Exactly why they were interested in some of these young kids. Because it's very difficult to trust this quarterback right now. And we'll see. I'm open to it. They did, and they showed how they got the offensive lineman they wanted, Lumineer and Runyon were the two guys they targeted and were able to get. Hopefully that impacts this room with the new offensive line coach. Hopefully this offensive line is far better, because while I think it's overblown, and while I disagree even with Joe Shane, because as Joe Shane said in the first episode, that even Patrick Mahomes couldn't win with this offensive line. Maybe not the Super Bowl, but he'd win a hell of a lot more than Daniel Jones and the other quarterbacks have. I disagree that, you know, the offensive line has been so putrid, you can't expect much more than what the Giants have given you. I disagree. And you can't expect much more than what Daniel Jones has given you. I disagree. But having said that, you can't expect greatness. You can't expect, you know, real great quarterback play. I get that. And Daniel Jones, other than Patrick Mahomes, I think Patrick Mahomes would still give you great quarterback play. I do. But Daniel Jones needs a better offensive line. Daniel Jones, hopefully, is going to get more weapons. He's going to be short Saquon Barkley, but he's going to have a better wide receiver room, and he's going to have a better offensive line. But it is the season of Daniel Jones, and we'll see what he does.